Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Sri Gangamai Ki Jai, Sri Jamunamai Ki Jai, Srimati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki Jai, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, The Lordship Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jai, The Lordship Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, The Lordship Sri Sri Gaunitai Ki Jai, Nite Gaur Premanandi, All Glories to the Assembled Devotees, All Glories to the Assembled Devotees, All Glories to the Assembled Devotees, All Glories to the Lotus Feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga Jai. Om Namo. Somebody parked a white Nissan blocking the way that needs to be moved. Where is that located? Oh, by the dumpster. So just blocking the dumpster is important that that be moved. Yeah, they can't get the garbage, and we don't want to auction any vehicle at this time. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 4, entitled Vidura Approaches Maitreya, Text 16. Karmanyani hasya bhavo bhavasyate. Durgas rayotari bayat palayanam. Kalatmano yat pramadayutasrama. Swatman rate ki yati dir vidam iha. Karmanyani hasya bhavo bhavasyate. Durgas rayotari bayat palayanam. Kalatmano yat pramada yutasrama. Swatman rate ki jati dhir vidham miha. Prabhus. Students.
Karmanyani hasya bhavo bhavasyate.
Durga Sri Paribhayatvayana Paramatmano Yat Pramadayatashrama Satmana Deki Yati Girgi Dhamiha Satmana Deki Yati. So word for word, karmani, activities. Anihasya, of one who has no desire. Bhavaha, birth. Abhavasya, of one who is never born. Te, your. Durga Ashrayaha, taking shelter of the fort. Atha, thereafter. Ari Bayat, out of fear of the enemies. Palayanam, flee. Kala Atmanaha, of he who is the controller of eternal time. Yat, that. Pramada Ayuta, in the association of women. Ashramaha, household life. Swa Atman, in your own self. Ratihi, one who enjoys. Kidyati, is disturbed. Dihi, intelligence. Vidam, of the learned. Iha, in this world. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. My Lord, even the learned sages become disturbed in their intelligence when they see that your greatness engages in fruitive work, although you are free from all desires. That you take birth, although you are unborn. That you flee out of fear of the enemy and take shelter in a fort, although you are the controller of invincible time. And that you enjoy householder life surrounded by many women, although you enjoy in yourself. Purport. Pure devotees, so we'll do the first paragraph and pause there, and then we continue later. Purport. Pure devotees of the Lord are not very much concerned with philosophical speculation in regard to transcendental knowledge of the Lord. Nor is it possible to acquire complete knowledge of the Lord. Whatever little knowledge they have about the Lord is sufficient for them, because devotees are simply satisfied in hearing and chanting about the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. This gives them all transcendental bliss. But some of the pastimes of the Lord appear contradictory, even to such pure devotees. And thus, Uddhava asked the Lord about some of the contradictory incidents in his pastimes. The Lord is described as having nothing to do personally, and it is actually so because even in the creation and sustenance of the material world, the Lord has nothing to do. It seems contradictory, then, to hear that the Lord personally lifts the Govardhan Hill for the protection of his unalloyed devotees. The Lord is the Supreme Brahman, the Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead appearing like a man. But Uddhava had doubts whether he could have so many transcendental activities. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Shila Durbhava Prabhuti Namini Sri Sri Vrindata Vivira Padapad Pankajadani Prabhupada Nupadaya Namah Shiva Bhavari. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nivishesha Sunivadi Pasyatadeshaparani. Hare Krishna. So, in this part of the Bhagavatam, just to give you a little background, is when Krishna, towards the end of his Leela in this world, on the final leg, he was relaxing under a tree, and Uddhava approached him. So Uddhava is the Lord's very advanced, very dedicated devotee from childhood. So he approached the Lord and asking about his activities. So just to give you a little background as to who Uddhava is, in his previous life, he was a Brahmin boy, young Brahmana, married to a young Brahmana girl. And one day, he and his father-in-law went into to the forest to pick up items for their sacrifice, and they were killed by a demon. So his young Brahmin wife, who had no mother, she was left alone, but she remembered the instruction of her husband and her father that you should always carry out the vow of Kartik and Ekadasi to perform austerities on these occasions. So we just finished Kartik month. So she tried to do that to the best of her ability. And one time she was very, very ill. Her health was very bad. And she, in taking a bath in the Ganga, she passed away. She left her body. So because of that sacrifice with her husband and herself, what they made, Krishna allowed her in her next life to become Queen Satyabhama. So we all know who Queen Satyabhama is, right? One of the wives of Lord Krishna. And her former husband, he became Uddhava. So this was described by Srila Bilvamangala Thakur like that. So Uddhava, even in his previous life, he was a very dedicated devotee. So from birth, Uddhava was very, very dedicated to Lord Krishna. So much so that it explains in the Bhagavatam that even as a child, he would worship Lord Krishna, he would worship the deity, he would circumambulate them, dress them, perform aarti, offer bhoga, and so absorbed that when his mother would call him for prasad, he would not come. He's so absorbed in worshipping the Lord. So throughout his life, he was very, very dedicated in worshipping the Lord. So that gives a little background as to who Uddhava is, such an advanced devotee. And so he's questioning here about the Lord's activities. So there are two aspects that of the Lord that are described here. One is called Aishwarya, and the other is Madhurya. The hints are here. So do you remember that? Those two? One is Aishwarya, the other is Madhurya. So does anyone of you know what Aishwarya means? Any of the kids? Anyway, so Aishwarya means the opulence of the Lord. Like, for example, in the Vaikuntha planets, the Lord is so opulent, so many, surrounded by so much paraphernalia and so much transcendental activities. And the other is Madhurya. So does anyone know what Madhurya means? Madhurya means sweetness, the sweetness of the Lord. So now can we remember that? Aishwarya means the opulence. Anyone remembers that? And Madhurya, what does Madhurya mean? Sweetness, there you go, thank you. So Srila Prabhupada is hinting in this purport that of the two, out of Aishwarya, which is the opulences of the Lord, and Madhurya, the sweetness of the Lord, that Madhurya is on a much higher level. That for one, we cannot understand, because we are so tiny, we cannot understand all the opulences of the Lord. We cannot understand, have complete knowledge of the Lord. But that is not very important. So this is a very nice icing on the cake. How many of you students here ever think and ever get confused that, oh, there's so much to learn about the Lord, or there's so much to learn in Krishna consciousness, that would I ever be able to learn it? Does anyone of you ever think like that? That is so much? Yes? Anyone else? Yes? Anyway, don't think you're alone, because we older devotees, we have the same problem. We always think that there's so much to learn. How can we ever learn so much about the Lord? But Srila Prabhupada is making things very easy here, that it is not necessary to have complete knowledge of the Lord. That whatever knowledge we have of the Lord, of course we try to the best of our ability, that is sufficient. That what is important, that we remember the Lord's activities, His pastimes, and get absorbed in that. So, therefore, and actually Krishna Himself stated that in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 9, started with Janma Karma Chame Divyam. Does any one of you know that verse? Yes, let me hear. Huh? Yes, can you say it? Okay, good, at least you read it. Anyone else? Came across that verse, Janma Karma Chame Divyam, Evam Yo Vidita Tataha, Dehan Purnam, what is the last? Nanda Janma, Naiti Mamiti So Arjuna. So Krishna is saying that anyone who understands my birth, Janma, and my karma, my activities, upon leaving this body would not take birth again. So the same thing Srila Prabhupada is saying here, that if we understand Krishna's activities, His pastimes, His sweetness, then we will not take birth here again. That this is sufficient knowledge, this is enough for us to go back home, back to Godhead. It is not important to understand the big philosophies, to understand all the intricacies. And for one, it's too complicated. We can't understand it anyway. We don't have the ability to learn all of that. So, in Vrindavan, how many of you have been to Vrindavan here? Yes? Yes? Okay. Not a whole lot, so I guess we have to make a yatra sometime with all the parents and the children to go to Vrindavan. So Vrindavan, the sweetness of the Lord is manifested anywhere you go. And one reason why it's manifested is because none of the residents of Vrindavan, the Vrijvasis, knew that Krishna is God. It sounds a little contradictory, right? They don't know that Krishna is God. They know Krishna, they love Him dearly, but they don't know Krishna is God, because Krishna has a potency called Yoga Maya. So, what is that potency called? Yoga Maya. And that Yoga Maya, Krishna created that energy that covers His devotees so that they don't see Him as God. Because if they see Him as God, they would have a relationship like Lord and servant. And there would only be reverence and prayers, but no sweet interrelationship, interaction. So Krishna doesn't want that. He wants to have a free, loving relationship. Just like when your father comes home from work. Some of your father might be engineers or doctors or lawyers or whatever the case may be. But when he comes home, he puts on his short pants and t-shirt, and you jump on his back and ride him like a horse. How much of you have done that when your father comes home? You don't care about his relationship, that, oh, this is this big minister, or whatever. All you concern, this is my loving father. And you play with him in that relationship. So Krishna also does that with his devotees. So he creates this Yoga Maya energy that would cover, and he also covers Krishna. He creates energy that would cover himself. So even he doesn't remember that he's God, and most of the times. So that way, there are sweet, loving relationships. So, in that note, we can talk about some of the pastimes of Krishna. As when, as devotees, when we absorb in these pastimes, then our consciousness gets purified at a rapid rate. And whatever we do in our daily activities, and we continue to remember these pastimes, which are very simple, then our life becomes very easy. So, any one of you here has been to Nandagram, where Krishna's parents were living, the palace? So if you remember that Nandagram, the palace, is up on a hill, and around the palace, there is like a balcony all around that you can look over. So the purpose of that balcony was that when Krishna was little and he was herding the calves, he would be nearby because he wasn't allowed to go too far into the forest. So he would be nearby, and every half an hour or so, Mother Yashoda would go up on that balcony and look around because she can see all over down the hills, and she can keep an eye on Krishna. So, like that, she was able to keep control. But children, as we know, sometimes they want to be out of that, the eyesight of their parents. They want to be out of that control. How many of you, sometimes you want to get away so when you have your playing with your friends or so, your parents don't come and disturb or don't come and see your activities, okay? So now you know where that came from, right? That came from Krishna. But anyway, we don't take too much advantage of that because sometimes it's good when your parents look over. So anyway, in the mornings, when Krishna would go out to herd the calves, Mother Yashoda, she's so affectionate towards her child that she would go out behind him, and then she would go up to the gate, and as Krishna is going off to the forest with his friend, she would run behind him. And then Krishna would say, "Maya, I'm okay." You know, Maya means mother. And he would hold her hand and bring her back in. And then he would go again. And within a minute or so, she forgets that Krishna just brought her back in, and she would run behind Krishna again. Then again, he would hold her hand and bring her back in. And then she would be stunned that now she would not see her little Lala, her son, for the entire day, excepting for when she would go up on the balcony and see him from a distance. And she's getting like real disturbed. So then she come up with an excuse to call Krishna. So she called, "Hey Lala, come back here." So Krishna left his friend, run back. His friends are waiting for him. And she said, "You know, I didn't fix your turban properly. Let me fix it right." So then he would say, "Okay, are you finished now? My friends are waiting." And he run back with his friends. Then Mother Yashoda would call him again. "Oh, Lala, come, I have to tell you something. I forgot to tell you something." So he came back. He said, "Okay, Maya, what is it this time?" He said, "You know, I forgot to tell you that I prepared nice lunch for you today. There is nice laddus and sandesh and this and that." So he said, "Okay, when I go to open my lunch, I'll see all of that. There's no need for you to tell me like that." And then he ran off again. And as he ran off again, she calls him again. And he came back, he said, "I just want to tell you that I particularly instructed Balaram to keep an eye on you so that everything would be fine." He said, "Maya, I know that. Every day Balaram does that." So then finally he tells Mother Rohini, who is Balaram's mother, that, "Look, just take Mother Yashoda back in the house so I can go out with my friends." So like that, daily this activity used to go on. So then Krishna went out with his friends, and they're playing. So one day, Krishna and Sridham, do anyone know who Sridham is? Yes? Yes, one of Krishna's friends. But in particular, yes? There you go, Radharani's brother. So one day, they all the cowherd boys, they split into two teams, and they're going to wrestle. So Sri Ram and Krishna was wrestling. So Krishna was struggling in this wrestle. He was wrestling with Sri Rama. How many of you wrestle all the time? Or sometimes? Yeah? Every one of us as kids, we wrestle, right? It's a lot of fun, isn't it? So yes, Krishna likes to do that also. So Krishna and Sri Rama, they were wrestling. And finally, Sri Ram pinned him to the ground, 1, 2, 3. And then Sri Ram jumped up and said, "Jai, Jai," he and his friends. And Krishna also jumped up and said, "Jai, Jai." So then Krishna's team is saying, "Krishna, you're not supposed to say that you lost." Krishna says, "No, I won." He said, "How you won? We all saw that Sri Ram pinned you, 1, 2, 3. He said, "No, I win, I can prove it to you." So they said, "Okay, prove it to us that you won." He said, when Sri Ram pinned me on the ground, his nose was facing downwards. And when I was lying on my back, my nose was facing upwards. Therefore, according to the rules of the game, I won. So they said, "Where did that rule came from?" He said, "Well, I just made it up." So they said, "Well, you know, Krishna, you're always cheating. You're always cheating that. Look, you lost, and according to our arrangement, you have to become a horse and we got to ride you." So Krishna said, "No, I'm not going to become a horse." So then they said, "Why?" He said, "Well, my father is the king, Nanda Maharaj, and I'll be the future king. So I can't become a horse. That's, you know, I have too much pride for that." They said, "If you cannot become a horse, then you cannot play with us." Krishna said, "Okay, then I won't play with you." So he went and he sat under a tree and all his friends were playing. He said, I'll go and play with my other friends." Well, everyone knows that Krishna has no other friends, only these friends. So they're playing and they're also teasing. While they're playing, you know, they're taunting him that, "Okay, we're playing and you're just sitting there." So Krishna sat there and he starts crying. So then some of them came and said, "Oh, Krishna is crying, let's go and try to, you know, calm him." The others are saying, "No, don't worry, he's just a crybaby, that he just wants to behave like that so we can have sympathy for him." So anyway, finally they came and Krishna says, "You know, I have to tell you something, that I am the Lord of Vaikuntha. Do you know that?" I said, "You? Lord of Vaikuntha? You know, you're just one of us." Because the yoga maya covers, so they don't see Krishna as God. He said, "Yes, and I have left the Vaikuntha planets just to come and play with you, because you wanted to play with me. And now you're leaving me aside, that I don't appreciate that too much." So then they said, "Okay, come, let's play." Then Krishna got happy. Then I said, "Are you going to become a horse?" Then he said, "No." So they said, "Well, what's your reason this time?" He said, "Well, my father, Nanda Maharaj, has 900,000 cows. That's why I cannot become a horse." Then Sri Ram said, "Wait a minute. My father has 1,100,000 cows. What do you have to say about that?" So then Krishna had no argument. So then, anyway, he went back and he started playing with his friends. And then they were rolling in the mud, in the wet mud. And afterwards, Krishna went home. So when he went home, you know, Krishna is black, and then there's dirt all over his body. When Mother Yashoda saw this little thing coming, she said, "Who is this?" Yeah, she didn't recognize. He started blinking his eyes, said, "Who are you?" Then he smiled and showed his teeth. He said, "I'm your son. I'm Krishna." He said, "You? How come you turn like this? That I dress you so nicely in the morning, and look at your condition, so much dirt, so much filth." He said, "Are you a pig or something?" Then Krishna says, "Oh, Maya, you understand. You understand the philosophy that, yes, I was a pig in my last life, Varaha." So like that, there were very sweet pastimes going on. And then the cowherd boys came behind and complained to Mother Yashoda. And Balaram came that Krishna ate dirt. So Mother Yashoda said, "Did you eat dirt?" He said, "No, I didn't eat dirt." In the meanwhile, His mouth was filled with dirt, and he's trying to use his tongue, you know, trying to clean his teeth, trying to absorb, you know, while he closed his mouth, trying to cover it up. And she said, according to Vedic, you know, according to Vedic understanding, little Kumara boys or little girls, whatever they say is Vedic authority, because children don't know to lie. Whatever they see, they would speak. That they wouldn't lie. They're little children. They don't know how to make up lies. He said, no, no, no. They're all lying. They're all lying on me. Yes. So then Maharaj Yashoda said, well, what about Balaram? He would lie too? He said, yes, Balaram also lies. He said, Balaram would never lie on you, that Balaram is the one who is there to protect you. So then Krishna is trying to think, try to make up some story to just try to draw Mother Yashoda's attention away. He said, Maya, I have something to tell you. That you're sending Balaram every day to protect me, like how the eyelid protects the eye. But I have to tell you something, that I need someone who can protect me from Balaram. Because Balaram is my biggest trouble out in the forest. So she said, oh, what did Balaram do? He said, constantly Balaram would tease me in front of my friends. He said, what would he say? What would he do? He said, oh, Balaram would call me in the middle of all my friends. I said, Krishna, I have something to tell you. He said that Mother Yashoda and Nanda Baba, they're hiding this from you. But I'm your friend, I'm your older brother, so I have the obligation to tell you the truth. I can't hide it from you. So Krishna said, what is it? He became very curious. He said, let us just analyze this. That look at Nanda Baba, he's fair. Look at Mother Yashoda, she's fair. Look at me, I am fair. And look at you, you're very dark. That, do you know that you are not their son? That you are adopted? So Krishna said, oh, well, then now he started thinking in his little brain, well, yes, all of them are fair and dark. Then maybe it's true. So he started crying again. So then Mother Yashoda said, no, 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 that's not true. She tried to pacify him. And by then, Krishna finished cleaning his mouth, all the dirt, because now he got Mother Yashoda distracted whilst he was cleaning up his mouth. Then he said, okay, Maya, if you don't believe what I'm saying, that I didn't eat dirt, now you can look into my mouth. You know, some children, or we do that all the time. Sometimes your parents tell you to do something like, maybe to put something in the refrigerator the night before so it won't spoil. And you completely forgot about it. And the next morning, when she's about to ask, then you remember, so you went and you stick it in the refrigerator and said, Mother, look, I did it. Come and see. So then she said, okay, I believe you. But this time that didn't happen. Then Krishna says, okay, if you want to see, then look into my mouth. Then she said, okay, open up. Let me see your mouth. So then when she looked into Krishna's mouth, what did she see? She saw the entire universe. And then she became bewildered. And for a moment, she kind of understood a little bit that, oh, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna says, uh-oh, that's a problem. So then immediately called Yogamaya to cover her, so she forgot about all of this. So she just sees Krishna as her loving child. So like that, there are many, many pastimes that goes on. That where they are all always loving relationships. Even Krishna was growing up a little bit more. Yes? According to calculations, Balaram was just about like 15 days older than Krishna. Not very, according to some of our acharyas. Yeah, he was not very much older, but he was the older brother, and therefore he had the responsibility to protect Krishna. That was his duty, that was his service. So to always overlook and protect. So like that, there are so many pastimes going on where there are loving relationships with the Lord and his devotees, even with the Lord and his gopis. So there are so many. There's another sweet pastime which you probably haven't heard before. So because Mother Yashoda used to go up on this balcony and look for Krishna, Krishna can't perform his other activities. So he decided to go farther into the forest one day. So when he went, Mother Yashoda came out. She didn't find him. She said, uh-oh. So she ran out and decided to go and search for him. So when she went searching for Krishna, she found him a little deeper in the forest, next to a little lake there with his friends. And of course, she was angry. So she was calling him. He says, come, let's go home. But Krishna says, no, I don't want to go home. I want to play with my friends. So then she said, oh, you don't want to follow? So she picked up a stick. So when she picked up the stick, Krishna got scared and he jumped into the little kund, the pond. And she's calling him to come out. So he said, no, I'm not coming out. So then she demanded, if you don't come out, I'm going to go come in there and get you. So then all of a sudden, she saw a figure like Hanuman came out of the water. And she got scared. She said, who are you? He said, are you going to put that stick down? Then she said, yes, I'll put this stick down if you tell me who you are. So then she threw away the stick, and then Krishna manifested himself so as little Krishna again. So he took that form as Hanuman, so that place is called Anjani Kunj. So that's a nice place there in Vrindavan where he took that form. So because he was fearful, so he took that form to scare Mother Yashoda, so then she can once more just have the loving relationship. So anyway, those are just a few pastimes about the Lord that we can always meditate on. So we can continue reading the purport to complete this verse. There is no difference between the personality of Godhead and the impersonal Brahman. How then can the Lord have so many things to do, whereas the impersonal Brahman is stated to have nothing to do either materially or spiritually? If the Lord is ever unborn, how then is he born as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki? He is fearful even to Kala, the supreme fear, and yet the Lord is afraid of fighting Jarasandha and takes shelter in a fort. How can one who is full in himself take pleasure in the association of many women? How can he take wives and, just like a householder, take pleasure in the association of family members, children, relatives, and parents? All these apparently contradictory happenings bewilder even the greatest learned scholars, who, thus bewildered, cannot understand whether inactivity is a fact or whether his activities are only imitations. The solution is that the Lord has nothing to do with anything mundane. All his activities are transcendental. This cannot be understood by the mundane speculators. For the mundane speculators, there is certainly a kind of bewilderment. But for the transcendental devotees, there is nothing astonishing in this. The Brahman conception of the absolute truth is certainly the negation of all mundane activities. But the Parabrahman conception is full of transcendental activities. One who knows the distinctions between the conception of Brahman and the conception of Supreme Brahman is certainly the real transcendentalist. There is no bewilderment for such transcendentalists. The Lord himself also declares in Bhagavad Gita 10.2, quote, even the great sages and demigods can know hardly anything about my activities and transcendental potencies, unquote. The right explanation of the Lord's activities is given by Grandfather Bhishma Dev, Bhagavatam 1.9.16, as follows. Nahyasya karhichid rajan puman veda vidichitam yad vijigyasya yukta muyanti kavayo pihi. So this completes this purport. So again, also Bhishma Dev is confirming that It's impossible to understand all the activities of the Lord and His qualities. Because even Krishna's immediate expansion, Lord Balaram, doesn't have the ability to understand all of Krishna's activities and expansions and potencies, not to speak of us. So Bhishma Dev is saying in the translation of this verse that he quoted, that all we need to understand is Krishna's birth and activities and his pastimes, that's all that is necessary for us. So Srila Prabhupada in that purport gives an elaborate explanation on these same activities, that the goal of our lives as devotees is to be absorbed in this sweetness of Krishna's pastimes. This should be our meditation. And when we absorb like this, our consciousness gets purified beyond our imagination, and our activities become sanctified. So our activities would naturally be in line with Krishna consciousness automatically. We don't have to spend extra effort in doing that. And like in Vrindavan, as we were discussing earlier, everyone loves Krishna so much, but not as God. They don't understand him as God, but they love him so very dearly. So when Bilvamangala Thakuru went to Vrindavan, he was told that to find God, you go to Vrindavan, that Bhagavan is there. So when he went there, he was asking everyone, where is Bhagavan? Where is God? They said, Bhagavan? God? There's no God here. There's no Bhagavan here in Vrindavan. So then he was confused that everyone says Bhagavan is in Vrindavan. So then afterwards he understood. And then he came back and asked the Vrajavasis that, where is Krishna? I said, oh, Krishna, and everyone then went into ecstasy and meditation. Oh, Krishna, we love him so dearly. He's everything to us. So like that relationship is there. And even when Krishna was telling his friends that I am God, Krishna says, look, I have killed all these demons. Putana, Aga, Vaka, Vatsasura, Shataka, I've killed them all. That I am God. And the friends are saying, oh, Krishna, don't be proud of your activities, that you know God, that it wasn't you who did that. That Nanda Baba, he's a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, and he always prays to Lord Vishnu to come and protect you. So whenever these things happen, Vishnu actually comes and kills these demons. So you don't take credit for that. That is not you. So Krishna couldn't convince any of his friends that he was God. He couldn't convince his parents that he was God. He couldn't convince the gopis that he was God. Because Yoga Maya was there. That's one of the reasons why Krishna didn't speak Bhagavad Gita in Vrindavan. He spoke it outside. Because outside of Vrindavan, they understand a little bit more of his potency, his opulences, Aishwarya. But in Vrindavan, no one understands that, no one cares about it. No one sees him as the Lord. Because look what happens when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna, who was his friend for life, they have loving relationships. They were always eating together, they were dining together, talk, joke with each other. And they would have such loving relationships. And what happened when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita and show Arjuna his universal form and tell Arjuna that he is God? That whole relationship and that nice sweetness dropped. And Arjuna is praying, oh my Lord, I have offended you so much that I have called you names, I have treated you like an equal, and now I didn't know that you're the Supreme Lord. And like that, there is a gap in that relationship that destroys that sweetness. So, if Krishna has spoken Bhagavad Gita in Vrindavan, no one would have taken him seriously. Or Acharya is described like that. That's why he spoke Bhagavad Gita outside of Vrindavan. Because outside of Vrindavan, his madhurya doesn't manifest so much. Maybe a little bit, but not so much. But in Vrindavan, it's only sweetness, only madhurya manifests. And like that, they're always loving relationship with everyone. This sweetness is there. That Krishna takes pleasure taking Nanda Baba's shoes on his head. He takes pleasure when Mother Yashoda would chastise him and running around. He takes pleasure when Radharani would get angry at him. Like the whole pastime of Damodar Leela. Does anyone know, like when we are chanting, you're all chanting the Damodar Astaka during Karti. At the end we chant, Radha Damodara Radha Damodara Radhe. The whole pastime, according to the verses, the meaning is about Krishna and Yashoda. So how come Radharani came in? Does anyone know? Because the original pastime is with Krishna and Radharani. One day Radharani was made arrangement to reach Krishna at a certain time. So Radharani went there waiting. 1 hour passed, Krishna didn't turn up. So she said, okay, this is IST. IST means Indian Standard Time. You're always 1 hour late. Everyone knows that. Or anywhere in India you go. It says 1 o'clock, you turn up 2 o'clock. He said, okay, this is Indian Standard Time. That's fine. So then the second hour passed. Then Krishna turned up. So at that time, Radharani was very angry. So our acharyas described that she put her hands on her waist. Her head was lowered and her right foot was tapping on the ground. At any time you see Radharani doing that, keep your distance. She's very angry. So then Krishna came and she's really mad at him. So then Krishna says, please don't be mad at me that today was a special day at home. There were a lot of activities. My mother had me to do extra services. So Radharani said, I don't want to hear anything. He said, no, please, I didn't do it on purpose. Please let me explain to you. She said, no, I don't want to hear anything. That you're late, I'm very angry, and I'm going to do something to you that was never done before. So then she had a golden belt. She took off her golden belt, and she tied Krishna up around his belly onto a tree. Then Krishna says that from now on, I'll be called Damodar. So now the two of us will be Radha Damodar because you tied me the rope around my belly, this golden rope. So if you go to the Radha Damodar temple, and there are always so much stringar, so much dress and cover, but if you give the pandas enough donation, the pujaris, and you be on their good side, they would move those clothing and you would see that with Radha and Krishna there is that golden belt tying them together. And even Srila Prabhupada, when Tamal Krishna Maharaj started the Sankirtan party, they had this bus and they had Radha Krishna deities in there. So because the bus moving, they do aarti and everything, this whole traveling Sankirtan party, they have the bus. So one day Srila Prabhupada went on the bus with them while they were doing aarti. And then they asked Prabhupada, can you name these deities? Give them a name and install them. So Prabhupada said, okay. When he looked closely, he said, you tied Radha and Krishna around their waist. You tied them up because you have to tie them so they don't fall off. So he said, okay, because you have tied them, then I'll name them Radha Damodar. So that's how the name came about. So then the whole group, the name became Radha Damodar Traveling Sankirtan Party. That's the name of the corporation which I have today. I took over that corporation in 2002 when we started Ratha Yatras. I took that corporation over from Tamal Krishna Maharaj and it came to Hansarupa Prabhu and Dravanaksha Prabhu. The two of them had that corporation. Then I took it over and we used that for Ratha Yatras. So we have that corporation until now. Radha Damodar Traveling Sankirtan Party. So anyway, so that's how Radha Damodar came about. It was the original Leela, it was with Radha and Krishna, and Krishna was tied by Radharani. Also in the Damodar Passamit Mother, Yashoda and Krishna, remember the rope was always short? The entire village, they brought all their ropes, and still their ropes were 2 fingers short. And then the last piece of rope that came, that made it do. So where that rope came from? Radharani brought that rope. She's the one that had the power to bind Krishna. Yeah, as the most advanced devotee. So all these are some of the pastimes that Srila Prabhupada is encouraging us to meditate on constantly and carry on our lives in Krishna consciousness. So I would stop here if anyone has any comments or questions. Yes, Prabhu? Bahu Yashu Prabhu?
Thank you for the sweetness about Radha Damodar.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Like you were saying, in Vrindavan, the leelas are sweetness, madhurya. Now, of course, when Krishna kills the demons, Prabhupada says in the introduction to your Krishna book that that is his Vasudeva expansion. So how, when Krishna kills the demons, how is that sweetness? Maybe you could explain.
Yeah. It's sweetness for his devotees because Krishna appears to give sweetness to his devotees, and in so doing, secondarily, he would destroy the demons. That's explained in Bhagavad Gita 4, I think 7 and 8. So, for the demons, it might not be sweetness. Just like the cat and the rat. The rat in the cat's paw, in the cat's mouth, that's not sweetness. But when a kitten is there, that's sweetness. So, for his friends and relationships, all these things are sweetness for them. Not necessarily the killing of the demons. As a matter of fact, they weren't, you know, they're not so much concerned. Because for them, Krishna is always their protector. They don't care. When the boys, when they saw this Agasura came in, his mouth opened, his mouth wide, they start speculating, what is this? Then start getting the smell. I said, maybe it's a big serpent. I said, anyway, don't worry, Krishna will take care of it. We don't care. So they carry on. They went right into his mouth and like that. Because they know, they're confident that Krishna is always their protector. So whatever happens, it's always sweet for them that Krishna is there. Whenever something happened, they turn to Krishna, oh, protect us. And when they're playing, they will slap Krishna around. So that's the relationship. That's how Krishna wants it. You know, that's how his parents want it. That's a relationship. So that sweet relationship. So it's not like necessarily that with the demons, even though ultimately sweetness for them. For example, Putana. In her previous life, she was Ratnamala, the daughter of Bali Maharaj. So when Vamanadeva approached, she saw this little boy, so sweet, this little boy, and her motherly affection automatically kicks in that, oh, I want to nurse this boy from my breast. So then little Bali Maharaj give her a wink that, yes, you'll have that opportunity. But afterwards, when he was suppressing her father, she got angry at him and she wanted to kill him. So then he said, yes, you'll have that opportunity also. So then when she came as Putana, she had that relishing opportunity to nourish Krishna from her breast. So in that way, that was sweetness. Because she had the opportunity to relate in that sweet way with Krishna. And so Krishna fulfilled her desire that you nurse me from your breast and you get the opportunity to try to kill me also. That was also there. So this, you know, the sweetness is there. And similarly, all these other pastimes, there are histories behind there, but we don't have time to go through in detail, that where it's also sweetness, but it might be in a indirect way. So, okay, Trivikram Prabhu, you have the mic, then Mataji over here.
Hari Bol, very nice. And as we discuss the pastimes and hear about them, they become sweeter and sweeter. See, as we become purified, so it's very nice you relate them again. I was thinking that If the residents knew that Krishna was God, then the relationships would not be like how they were, and then they would not even relish the pastimes, because they would see him in awe and reverence.
Yeah.
But when they don't know he's God, then they can relate as friends and parents and so forth.
Yeah? Yeah.
But thank you for the nice question.
But also wanting to note on that, on a very, you know, on a very stringent line, is that there are many people who doesn't know that Krishna is God. Many karmis, many outsiders. But they don't have that relationship with Krishna. So it's a growing stage that one has to come to, that these Brijvasis, they're the highest of elevated devotees. But we have to go through the stage of sadhana bhakti and all the different stages. And then you develop that relationship. So it's not that, okay, I don't know Krishna is God, but, you know, I can love him. It doesn't work like that. So these devotees, they're very advanced. Till to the point that, okay, not only I'll see God as God, but I'll become the father of God. So they're so advanced that they're being able to be in that position where they can become the father of God, they can become the lover of God, they can become the friend of God. That's what God caught Brahma. Lord Brahma, when he saw Krishna eating with his left hand, his friends would bite half a laddu and give him to eat, and he said, "This is God? How can God, you know, do like this?" Even he was bewildered. He couldn't understand. Uddhava, who grew up his whole life in front of Krishna, see all of Krishna's activities, there with him his entire life, he's questioning here, he can't understand. So, to be able to be in a position where you don't see the Lord as the Lord, but in a relationship, is a very, very advanced situation. So for us, we can't imitate, at least for me, I can't imitate, but we can learn and practice and hope that we can advance. So, yes, Mataji?
I had the similar question, you know, why do we have to go through stage of, you know, seeing the glories of Krishna and His Highness before we can get to the sweet relationship? But you answer quite nicely.
Yeah, because it's a growing stage. Yeah, it's a growing stage for all of us.
Because it looks like an obstacle to having a relationship, you know, that more intimate.
Yeah, but when you reach a stage, is very sweet. And all of you women have this experience, like before you met your husband, you know, or when you first met, it's like there's a casual relationship, you know, and one more of reverential relationship. But as you get closer, when you get married, you know, there's a saying that before marriage is one face and immediately after is another face. So after marriage, then the new face come on with authority. You know.
With the naughty.
Yes, but with love. Yeah, but with love. Yeah, just last week it happened to me. I was coming home from work. As soon as I reached home, my wife says, "Where were you so long that it takes 5 minutes to get from the shop to our shop to the home, and it's now 7 minutes?" So I was looking at the clock. So I'm waiting for you to give you hot prasadam because the weather is cold. So like that, you know, and that's all true love. You know, chastisement is there, but it's true love. So that relationship, but that didn't happen. That didn't just happen like that. It grew from a zero to that level. So similarly, Krishna and with all his friends and everything, and similarly with us, is a relationship. It's a work in progress, to use American terms.
Yeah, so. Actually, we're quite fortunate to have a kind of watered-down scene of what is supposed to be our relationship with God.
Yeah. Okay.
You've brought up Arjuna and his relationship with Krishna.
Yeah.
It made me think, you know, Arjuna has a friendship with Krishna.
Yeah.
And but then in Vrindavan, his friends, the cowherd boys, But that's different than that friendship Arjuna has. Arjuna was not in Vrindavan.
No, well, what I'm saying is that friendship is one of the rasa also, with the Lord. And the Pandavas, their rasa with the Lord was that of friendship. So, but what I'm saying is that when Krishna showed his real personality, it momentarily destroyed that relationship between he and Arjuna. Arjuna dropped to reverence.
Yes.
And Krishna is thinking, this is not what I want, because he wants relationship, he wants friendship. He doesn't want that relationship. Just like when you come home the husband comes home, the last thing he wants to know is that his kids see him as this big minister or lawyer or whatever. No, he wants loving relationship. And they don't care who he was, they want to see him as their father. Just like when Prabhupada was in the train when he was grihastha. One time he was there and his son was jumping on him, jumping on his head, climbing up and down. And then there's this other man next door says, "Boy, you can't do that. Don't you know who this is? That this is a great sadhu." He said, "Sadhu? No, sadhu, this is my father." You know, so he doesn't care about being a sadhu. He wants to know that that's his loving father. He wants to know that's that loving relationship. And Krishna entertains that relationship by using yogamaya, employing yogamaya to even cover him. Like I know when I had a job, my boss, he's the owner for the company. At a certain point, he figured out things are not going to work by he just being the full authority. So he gave myself, I was like his office manager, and his accountant, one old Mataji, he gave the two of us authority. He said, "Look, from today, you take control, you can spend how you want to. I don't want to know about it," because he's a miser. So if you know you got to spend, he creates a stink. So he doesn't want to know how the spending goes on, to take care, make things nice, run the operation nicely. And like that, he doesn't have to worry because he's not conscious of it. So like that, he employs us to go over him. So the Lord used Yoga Maya in the same way. Employ her to cover him, cover his devotees, so therefore sweet relationships can be there.
So I understand that point you're making, but I'm still thinking, Arjuna was in Dwarka or Hastinapur.
Yeah.
He was not in Vrindavan.
Right, no, he was not.
Was the friendship of Krishna and Arjuna and the friendship of his cowherd boys on an equal level?
My understanding, no.
Yeah.
My understanding, no. Even though Arjuna and his brothers, they were on a very, very high level.
Yeah.
If you read Brihad Bhagavatamrita, all that traits are there.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are one of the persons that Gopa Kumar was referred to. Okay, they are higher than me. When they went to Hanuman, said no. Hanuman said no, go to the Pandavas. They are much higher in elevation and advancement. But still, the relationship is different because Krishna's function with the boys in Vrindavan took on a different aspect than his friendship and function with Arjuna.
So who did the Pandavas send Gopa Kumar to?
I don't recall right now. There are a whole long list after going back. If I tell you, I might just be speculating, and I don't want to do that any more than I've done in the class. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway. Yeah, it was on a different level, I guess.
Adults, yes.
Right, and then also because these boys, his Gopa friends, they were all sages that requested, they prayed that they want to come and have playtime with the Lord. So the Lord said, "Okay, I'll fulfill your desires." Just like some of the gopis, they were sages that they want to come as gopis to be, the lover of Krishna. So okay, you'll have that. So Krishna fulfills everyone's desires. Whatever your desire is, if you want to be his enemy, he allows you. You want to be in this relationship, he allows you. So, like that. So anyway, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.